Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, co-workers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast.
All right, so today's topic for the podcast is it biblical for a Christian to collect interest, to get interest from people? And this may seem like a pretty weird topic, but maybe it'll surprise some people and be interesting and perhaps make people think a little bit.
We all pay interest, Nathan. Yeah. So what's your deal here?
All right, so we're going to go over some examples of interest in the world. And if you have a credit card, okay, so the average credit card interest rate is 14 to 19% interest.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so that's why you shouldn't get credit cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all know about credit cards. It puts a lot of people in debt, right? It's kind of like a snare.
Yeah.
It's something that's sort of a temptation. It's a quick and easy type of thing to use. You swipe the card. It's free money. Yeah. So it seems.
It feels free until you're paying the payments
A
month later, or you're over by $1,000 and you're paying these $30 monthly payments.
Yeah.
And they are getting tons of money off of interest off
tons of money.
Free payment.
Yep. Yeah, 14 to 19% interest. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the even bigger fish of interest, and that is payday loans.
Oh, yeah.
And these finance charges range from $15 to $30 just to borrow, say, $100.
That's crazy.
Okay. So this there's like a fee to borrow the money. So say you're borrowing $100, you'll pay between $15 to $30 just to borrow it for like a two-week loan. And then these finance charges result in interest rates from 390 to 780%.
Wow. I actually when I was in college, my college years when I was broke, I would use these sometimes. I'd go there just to get some money. I had no choice.
Mikey.
I know. It was terrible, terrible decision making.
Oh,
but then I found my wife and she saved my soul from terrible choices with money.
The good financial wizard.
Yes, and that's why she does the finances in our house.
Yeah, so, you know, if you think credit cards are bad, that's, like, crazy bad. 390 to 780% interest. I mean, that's nuts. And this is all legal, which is also surprising. Yeah. But, so payday loan companies are all over the place. You'll find them in pretty much strip malls all over the place. You'll find these businesses, and, people go there.
And usually the people who go there are the people who are broke and usually can't afford to even... I mean, these are people who definitely don't need somebody to be pouring interest onto their onto these payments for them, because it's just going to make their lives a lot more difficult. And but that's who's going to go there, of course.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
So the people who can be like most hurt and most take advantage of... These are the customers of these type of companies.
Right. Yep.
But again, it's all legal. So here's an example of sort of like what happens. Example is this business, SpeedyCash.com. And that's, you know, what people are looking for. Some quick cash.
Yeah.
If you've had... And on their site. So on their site, when you first get there... It says, it's talking about who they are as a company, and if you've had a streak of bad luck, and have found yourself needing a helping hand, right?
Yeah.
And you need some credit, we might be the right ones for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I need.
So you can tell right off the bat who their customer base is.
Right.
You're in a bad situation, right? Something's happened to you. You're in need, and you've come to the right place.
And you're going to help me? You're going to give me money? And you wouldn't screw me over, right? I mean, I just need a little bit of help. You said you were willing to give me money.
Yeah. So we know, like, who they're after, right? It's pretty obvious. And so I was just doing, like, a guess figure here of what would happen. And if you needed $300, okay, so something, I don't know, you need to pay utilities or something. And so you need $300. And these are generally the amounts people are getting. It's not huge amounts. Mm-hmm. They're getting stuff like $100, $300, stuff like that, to pay something, right? So that they can make it through the month or whatever is going on. Yeah. So, again, this is a different category of situation than what people take out a loan for today of like, I don't know, I'm going to get a car or I'm going to buy a house or something like that. Those are substantial type loans. And it's usually, you know, it's just different. This is somebody who's in a situation of need. That's why they came.
Yeah, I think when I did it, I used it for gas and food.
Yeah.
Because I had to pay my bills and I had no money and I had to go to college.
Yeah.
I had to get to work. So that was the only way I can do it. And yeah, it seemed like a quick way to get money. And you really don't even think about the fact that you're going to be charged with such high interest. Yeah. You're just looking for some money to help you out.
Yep. And, you know, desperation blinds a lot of reason and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, that's what you're kind of banking on.
So you're hoping people aren't there to screw you over when you're desperate.
Yeah, and you're just not really thinking about, like, the ramifications of what's happening.
Yeah.
So, borrow $300. Well, there's a fee rate, right? Again, we kind of talked about that. And it's 17.5% fee. And so that'll add another $52 to that $300. So you're taking out $352.50.
Okay.
But then they have the interest rate, and it's 456% interest for a 14-day loan, and it's only 212% for a 30-day.
Oh, that's good.
So the shorter the loan, the higher the interest rate. That's another thing that goes along with it. But you'll end up paying something like $1,600 in the end. Okay, for that $300. And so that's how the game's played.
Yeah.
That's how they that's make insane. A lot of money.
And
so, you're hoping your customer's just in a desperate situation. They're looking for that $300 to carry them over. They see the service charge. They're like, that's, you know, $50. That's kind of a lot. But then they're not showing you on here what the end is going to look like, right? They just show you these percentages, and you just kind of go
with it. It's similar to buying a house. I mean, they tell you you're going to pay 5-6% interest in the end. You end up paying double to triple what you actually paid for the house if you pay your payments for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts.
And so imagine 400% interest.
Right, and this is within 1 month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, something to also put into perspective is, you know, we're talking about these people who are susceptible to these type of loans and things are generally people in worse financial situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading a news article from CBS the other day, and it was saying 40% of Americans are one paycheck away from poverty. And so people, you know, often live, you know, as they say, paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And so they're one life event, right? They're just one life event away from being in a financially bad situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, car breaks down. You know, any of these any of these things that happen will cripple 40% of Americans.
Yeah.
They don't have enough financial stability and stuff saved up to withstand, you know, any of these you know, a sort of emergency events.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets hurt, whatever it is. And so when these streak, you know, you had a streak of bad luck, huh? You know, yep. And then that's when they come.
We're here for you.
Yeah, we're here for you. So, you know, we're going to be talking about interest. This is a common practice that happens. And so we're going to be talking about, you know, as a Christian, we get that the world, you know, this is the way things work in the world.
Right.
And have for, as we'll go over scripture, this is the way things have worked forever.
Yep.
People have done this.
Yep.
But as Christians, you know, is this something that we should be doing, you know, charging interest on people? And so we're going to kind of dive in here, look at some scripture, see what it has to say. And so we're going to first start off here with Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. And if anybody listened to the Widow, the Orphan, and the Foreigner series, this is in part one when we went over that God's talking about that he'll, you know, I will come kill you if you do anything to the widow, you know, the orphan, and the foreigner.
Yeah.
So it's like super, super intense verse.
Right.
And this is the verse following that. So he's like, I will come, you know, destroy you if you don't help these people. And by the way, if you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a money lender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. And so interest, you know, the word is neshek in Hebrew, and it means just what it means today. It means interest. You would go to a money lender, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would give you money for a percentage of interest that you would have to pay back. Now, the word for money lender is noshe, and this word is very, like, negative. This is a very negative word. There's no positive to this word. It's somebody who's a profiteer, somebody who's giving interest, obviously. And then there's a second definition of somebody who will cheat you, somebody who's a deceiver, and somebody who... gives you like this idea that things are gonna, you know, work out good for you. So kind of entertains hopeful beliefs that'll never be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Is sort of the idea. It's somebody who's like enticing is a money lender. So again, all these definitions to this word aren't good.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of like a tempter.
Well, in a perfect society, you would think, if somebody was in need and poor, the best thing we could do for them is to not burden them with interest, making it difficult, more difficult for them to get out of the situation they're in. You would think we'd give them a break and we would help them by giving them at least giving them a loan at the cost.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is just the beginning, of course. I mean, but why would we? It's sad that these companies are trying to profit themselves. They're trying to make lots and lots of money, and they really don't care who they're affecting. They don't care about the individual that comes in that building.
Yeah, it's just business.
That's right. It's just business. Yep. They don't care how much they're screwing someone over. They're going to do it regardless because they're trying to make as much profit as possible, and that's the motive of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's, you know, there's plenty of other, like, laws and stuff in place that are showing you God's obvious intention and desire that you weren't to let anybody fall into destitution, you know, and through taking advantage of them. Everything's geared around that you're going to come beside that person and help restore them.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the spirit of the law there, 'cause that's, you know, God's heart. And so kind of moving on there, we'll kind of go to Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 36 and, through 38. And it talks some more about interest, and, there'll be another word used that, talks about fees. Mm. So we were seeing the fee, you know, there when you take out the loan and then plus the interest. So starting in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 36, take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live beside you. You shall not lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And so if you notice that word profit that comes up in here, so this is a different word than the word for interest. The word is terabit. And this has to do with like an extra charge that would be added on besides the interest. Mm-hmm. So to take out the loan, there's a charge, and then you have the interest there. And this is usually a fee that applied to food. If you were to get food from somebody, you would pay this charge for that. And so... again, things that are done, you know, just the same today. People take out interest, you know, on people. People make you pay fees just to do the action that you're needing in the business transaction there. But again, you know, the command is that you're not to take interest from people. You are, the reason is because you fear God, right? That's why you're not going to do that. And the second reason is so that your brother will live with you, right? You don't want to see the other person fall into a bad situation, right? Mm-hmm. That things keep going wrong for him. And so because of that, you're not, when you give to him, you're not going to take interest. You're not going to do that with food either. Right, you're not going to make them pay a fee because they're in need of food and that kind of thing as well.
And then God gives us the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do this? Well, because He took them out of Egypt, meaning they were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They were taken advantage of. They were. I'm sure they didn't get a good living wage for what they were doing. They probably weren't treated well. They probably weren't rationed well for food. And now they're going to be their own country,
mm-hmm.
and now God wants to give them laws to, and he wants them to treat others how he treats them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always like how it ends with, I am Yahweh. You know, I am the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why you listen to me.
Absolutely.
You know, because this is who I am. Right? This is my kingdom. This is the way things are going to go.
Yeah.
You know, I know how the world's been working, right? I know how business is done. We don't take advantage of people here.
That's right.
You know, we're not going to do these business practices. It's over. There's a new kingdom here, and there's a new way things are going to operate. Now, you know, did they ever? No. You know, and as we keep going, the prophets are going to come in, and they're going to be railing against this.
Absolutely.
You guys are charging interest and stuff like that. And so, you know, they didn't. But it's I just always like that when he says, I am.
For the listeners, this is something I had to wrestle with, because I actually wrestled with Nathan on this whole idea, because it was like, well, everybody has interest. Everybody's charged interest. Is there really anything wrong with it? That's just the way of the world. But when God makes it clear, like when he's saying, I am the Lord, you better be listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no excuse not to listen to what he's telling you. This is God. God knows what's best for all of us. And we need to do our best to go to Scripture, learn what it says, and live that way, even if it conflicts with our culture and the way we live right now.
Yeah.
For everything. This topic... when Nathan said interest, I was like, are we really going to talk about interest? That's like the most boring subject in the world. But it's important to God. It should be important to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just so straightforward, you know. There's not a lot of mystery to it. It's like, what's the interpretation here? I mean, it's pretty...
So what if I charge 3% interest? I mean, that's better than 15. No, we shouldn't be charging interest.
It just says no. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we'll go to Deuteronomy 23, verse 19. And we'll see that he is making sure that people know, don't charge interest.
Right.
So God says, you shall not charge interest on loans to your brother. Interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest. There is nothing to put interest on.
Nothing? Nothing at all.
Okay, so he is obviously listing these different things that people would charge interest on. And, you know, in case you didn't get it, you can't charge interest on anything.
Anything.
Okay, there is no interest here. Not in this kingdom. Mike brought up kind of a little point here. And the next verse, verse 20, it says...
Yes, Nathan, were trying to trick me.
So Mike threw this verse in there. He's like, well, Nathan, there's this verse. You may charge interest to a foreigner, but to your countrymen, you shall not charge interest, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land which you are about to enter and possess. So
we can charge interest to foreigners.
We can charge interest to foreigners. Now, there's a little bit of problems with this verse. The first one is, again, if you remember back or have listened to the Widow, the Orphan, and the Foreigner series, in part one we list like the three terms that Hebrew has for different foreigner groups. Mm. And that podcast is mainly based on the ger, which is like sort of somebody coming as a refugee into your land. Somebody fleeing something who's in need and stuff like that. And then there's the Toshav, which is somebody who's like who's a resident there, who's lived there, but is kind of like making peace or is going to coexist with the Israelites there. And then there was the third one, which we didn't really talk about because most of the verses talking to foreigners don't have this term. This is called the Nakri, and this is a bad guy.
Okay.
This is talking about the like enemy foreign groups that are around them. So Philistines would be one of those groups. It generally is used to talk about like foreign gods, foreign idols, foreign altars. That's when the word is used. And then in a very few spots, it's talking about people, but it's sort of the negative bad guy term. You know, those bad guy foreign enemies that are trying to attack and stuff like that. So with the enemies, you can charge interest. This isn't just to any foreigner,
right,
for one thing. So it's for a select group, the people who are probably supposed to be removed from the promised land that still aren't. Those are the ones you can charge interest to. But as we move on, Jesus is going to ruin that one,
too.
He's gonna.
The only reason I was calling Nathan out is just because if you go on Google and you search if Christians or if, you know, if we have the right to charge interest, and for some reason I can't answer, the church wants to defend the idea of charging interest. So this is a verse they're going to pull out, and they're going to use this verse singular, just this verse, and say
it's the only one.
Exactly. And this is the verse they're going to use to say, oh, yeah, they charge interest in the Old Testament. They don't even really wrestle with the idea that it's only talking about foreigner. They didn't actually look into the Hebrew word and discover what that word meant as a foreigner. And so it was good. I'm glad Nathan has his Hebrew knowledge because that helps with the context.
The old Hebrew kind.
And they pretty much ignored the New Testament passages that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, once you get to, you know, Jesus, and just the surrounding evidence, I mean, it's pretty overwhelming on which side you should lean. Even if you were confused as to, like, okay, how would this apply, and you just use foreigner in a pretty broad sense, still, how does that help most interest?
It doesn't.
Situations.
Right. When are you going to get in the situation where some enemy foreigners around?
I only charge the Canadians.
That's right.
You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's not really happening. Right. So, going to move on to Ezekiel. Going to the prophets here. So, we're going to go to Ezekiel and kind of see what has to be said there. And we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 18. And we're going to go to several different passages in that chapter. But what's going to be kind of, what's happening in the context is Ezekiel is talking about this is how the righteous do things. And then this is how the wicked do things. And the righteous shall live and the wicked shall die. And so Ezekiel's laying out a string of things. Mm. Now we're going to be, for this podcast, obviously focusing on interest, but there's a whole list of things that he's saying, you know, these are what the righteous are going to do. Yeah. And then this is what the wicked are going to do. But it's a great passage, you know, the read and stuff is really good. So Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 8, we'll just kind of jump in here. And again, there's a list of things, but we're jumping in where he begins to talk about interest. And he says, you know, they do not lend, talking about the righteous, they do not lend at interest or take any profit. And that's that tarbit there for like an extra surcharge or whatever. And withholds his hand from injustice. He executes true justice between man and man, and walks in my statutes and keeps my rules by acting faithfully. He is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord Yahweh. So, you know, this is talking about who is a righteous person, and it's someone who doesn't lend at interest. Mm. That this is a characteristic of someone who is upholding God's justice and upholding God's righteousness. And this is one of those characteristics. And it's not something we would think about normally. Like, you know what? I don't charge interest. Yeah, God's people don't charge interest. We would think like, you know, I pray a lot.
Yeah.
Of, you know, fasting.
Read my Bible, if you're really crazy. Today. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fasting, stuff like that. Stuff like that.
People, yeah. Right.
You know, you wouldn't think, you know, marker of it is like, I don't, you know, have fees. I don't charge people fees for things.
Yeah.
And I don't do interest. Those are
I wouldn't be very impressed, Nathan, if you're like, I don't charge interest.
I don't charge interest. And there's something interesting here that is said, he shall surely live. And it's like life being tied to these characteristics, that this is the way of life, that not charging interest and these fees and type of things, that this is the way of life. That you are bringing life into a situation. And kind of continuing on there, there's going to be some questions asked in verse 13. You know, if they're lending at interest and takes profit, shall he then live? You know, this is the question. And he shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. And his blood shall be upon himself. And so for the one who does charge interest, who does, you know, take these fees and stuff, shall this person live? And the answer is you know, obvious, he shall not, right? If this is how the logic has just been laid out in the verses previous, then we know that, oh, no, you know, what's being said here is this person shall not live. You know, he has done all these abominations. And the word abominations, you know, has a big meaning, but it's sort of like you are defiling and polluting and ruining everything. That's sort of the idea that's coming along. You are, you know, corrupting everything by doing these things. Now, again, there's a list of things. It's not just interest in the word profit there and stuff. But these are part of that, you know, and think of how serious that is. God says these things are an abomination to do. These things lead to death. And my favorite verb form here, the infinitive absolute, you shall surely die, is said there. And if you remember back to the garden, what is said, you know, is this same thing, you know, that you shall now surely die.
Yeah.
And, you know, brought upon the curse and stuff.
And it, the results of your death would be on yourself.
This was, yeah.
It says his blood shall be upon himself.
Yep. Yep.
Meaning you are sole responsible your actions what you did.
That's right.
And
that's another point being laid out here, you know, as Ezekiel's going through, is that, you know, the guilt for things and stuff is upon you, the one who is the doer of these things. But yeah, I mean, think of the seriousness, I guess, to which God is taking this, right? It's not something just trivial or just like, well, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
Apparently, God doesn't like this, you know, very much so. And he's saying that it's not a way of life. It's not a way that is righteous. It's a way that brings death and defiles and ruins and pollutes everything. Yeah, and so, again, going on from there, it talks about in verse 17 that the person who is righteous, you know, withholds his hand from iniquity. He does not take interest or profit. He obeys my rules, and he walks in my statutes. He shall not die for his father's iniquity. He shall surely live. So this next passage is, again, talking about that the guilt, you know, your father, the generations before you, they may have done these things. But what's being said is, you guys can change that. This generation who is being talked to, you guys don't have to do those things, right? To live a different way. And if you change that way, if you don't take interest, if you don't do these things, right? You withheld your hand from iniquity, guilty, evil practices, and you follow the way of God, you know, this person shall surely live. And there's always, you know, that choice in our lives, which path are we going to go down?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to go down, you know, the way of the world, the path that leads to destruction? Or are we going to keep going by that narrow way?
Yep. We can't use the argument because everybody else does it.
Yeah.
It makes it right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You know, each person is responsible for what they've done. And in chapter 22 of Ezekiel, continues to talk about it, and says, in you they take bribes to shed blood. You take interest and profit and make gain of your neighbors by extortion. But me you have forgotten, declares the Lord God. And, you know, saying by these business practices, you show that you have forgotten God.
You know.
And that's pretty, pretty sad.
Well, and has the church forgotten this message? Has it disregarded this message because it wouldn't be popular? It wouldn't be understood. It doesn't make sense based off of the kind of culture we live in. And what does that mean for the church when you forget such important messages, when God has so much value in something? Even if we don't find it significant about interest and profit, even if it doesn't affect me, it's got to be a message that the church was willing to accept. And it's kind of like our last sermon when we talked about declaring war on things and ideas. This is the kind of idea we need to declare war on. Not to say we need to be really outspoken, but we have to first accept this idea that interest is bad and God doesn't like it.
Yeah.
End of story. If you got to start there. You have to start somewhere. And even if there's arguments against that and there's questions, because that's usually what happens, is you're going to have a million questions after when you say, no, we should not be charging interest. Then you start asking the questions like, me and my wife, we had really good conversations about this. It's like, well, how can a bank function? How can institutions function? How can How can there, don't you need profit? I mean, that's how money makes money. You need these things.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, we have to start at the point of God does not like this. And yeah. we are not supposed to participate mm-hmm. in interest.
Yeah. Yeah, you first got to meditate on that. You yeah. know, really think over these verses, like, you know, and kind of accept that first part.
I already know I have friends who are going to yeah. be asking me questions on this. And I'm not going to be able to give them a good answer because it's obviously, like I said, I guess take it up with God. Mm-hmm. Don't take it up with me. I can't. Yeah. I don't know what
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, I mean, it. And anybody can do this. Just look at the scripture that has to do with interest. Yep. You know, we're not like cherry picking. There's like, oh, there's, you know, 40, 50 verses out there that say interest is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Because there's right. not.
There's not.
There's not. there's only one right. thing said, and it's not good. So then, you know, God goes on to say that, you know, you guys are acting all brave and great, but when I come to visit you guys, you know, how do you think I'm going to deal with you guys when I come to visit? You know, when the day of the Lord happens, yeah. do you guys really think you can stand after you've done this?
Yeah.
And like, that's, you know, there's a real judgment in God's mind for people who have done these things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You hear the question a lot, like, what side of history do you want to be on? Do you want to be in the wrong side of history? You hear a lot of commentators talk about that, political commentators, like, you're going to be on the wrong side of history if you support this. Well, you don't want to be on the wrong side of judgment. And this mm-hmm. is a small thing. This is just one of many things, but it is one of many things. So, once again, it's hard to find this one significant, especially in my own life, where it's like, I have no way to charge interest. I'm not selling anything.
Yeah.
You know, but, and we'll get into it later, I'm going to have opportunities to give people things mm-hmm. without asking for money back, you know, mm-hmm. and we'll wait till we get to the New Testament with that, but there is, you know, Jesus, of course, he ups the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so kind of moving on to let's see what Jesus has to say about this. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 34. And this is like Matthew has Sermon on the Mount. And this is kind of known as Sermon on the Plain because that's where it starts. And it's similar to the Sermon on the Mount. And so when you get to the enemies section of Luke here, this is what Jesus is teaching. And he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 34, "And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount." So again, he's laying out, you know, what is the way of the world, right? Mm-hmm. The way of the world is going to be no gain in Jesus' kingdom, right? He's laying out that mindset, yep. like, what credit is that? Like, what reward is it if you just act like they do, mm-hmm. right? He's like, there's no reward in that. So what you gave to somebody, but you did it just the same as all the others do. And then he goes on to verse 35, but, right? And that's an important word, but, contrast. Right? This is what I'm about to say is not going to be like that. Yep. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. So he gives the command, you know, you are to love your enemies. So we were talking about that passage of the Nakri up there with the foreigner, and that you could charge the bad guys.
Right.
Well, then Jesus comes in, and he says, no, I want you to love the enemies too.
Right.
Right. And I want you to give to the enemies. And it's like, you know, it was already bad enough with the no interest thing. Now you're saying give to enemies. Expect that your money won't get returned to you.
Yeah.
And
this
then
isn't a normal wrestling, like, match. What? This is a cage match now, guys. The cages are coming down. I mean, that's what it feels like. It's always like Jesus always ups the game.
He always ups it.
You can't just leave it how it
you
was.
You guys heard it was like this? Oh, I'm belted.
Oh, you think you did enough giving away a little bit of money? Now go give it to your enemies, okay? That's who you're going to go give to, and you're not going to expect anything back. That's Jesus right there. Jesus is always going to push us to do something greater and more.
Always pushing it. Oh, man. Jesus.
Oh, man.
He's the best.
Yeah, that's right.
So, the word there for reward is interesting because it has to do with, like, your wages. And so this is a very, like, there's a lot of financial language in this. The word is misthos in Greek, but it's for reward there. And it has to do with, like, being recompensated or, you know, for that interest, right? What you would get back. Well, your getting back isn't financial, right? Mm-hmm. In the kingdom world that's like turned upside down, yeah. What in the biblical mindset, you're not after physical, you know, gain, material gain. Your reward is going to be great somewhere else, right? And not only that, you will be sons of the Most High. You will be, this is what God's like, right?
Yeah.
That's who this is like, you know, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who God is, and you get to share in being like God.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the true wages that you get back. Instead of that interest stuff, instead of that money stuff, you're getting to be like God.
Mm, yeah.
And that's what we should be after, you know? You get to be like Christ in this.
And this is what God's kingdom looks like, right?
That's right.
These are the kind of things that God's kingdom is supposed to look like. And obviously, we don't see enough of God's kingdom because we don't see this often enough.
Nope.
We're seeing the earthly kingdoms in action.
Yeah.
And some reason we fall into those kingdoms and we accept the way they are instead of building God's kingdom as God has commanded us to do.
Yeah.
That's what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be a separate nation. We're supposed to be a nation of priests. We're supposed to be a nation of people who help those who are the least, the enemies of God. We're supposed to help those, and we aren't supposed to ask for anything in return, ever. We're supposed to just give, lend.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, but
yeah,
no one says being a Christian's
yeah.
Not being.
Because it's crazy. Hard for us to imagine because it's like, where is the prophet in that? Even though we just heard Jesus say, like, this is the prophet that you get. Like, this is the reward. You're still thinking, like, that's not a reward.
In a way, I think we believe we've already received that reward. We're already going to be, you know, we're already sons of the Most High. Why? And so we kind of forget the part of the obedience to Christ, the servanthood, the slavehood. Yeah. I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah. Whatever it is, we're subservient to Christ's commandments. This is one of them. Yeah. And so this, in the results are to be sons of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the reward is great to do these things. Now, these aren't rewards we're going to receive, monetary rewards. It's not going to be earthly rewards. I think it's rewards we don't really totally understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we need to ask ourselves, like, what is the motive to which we lend? Right? Mm-hmm. As Christians, why are we giving money to people or giving things? Is it to make a profit, or is it to be like God and to love others? Right? What is that root motive? Because if it's to make a financial profit, then this isn't going to work.
Right?
What Jesus just said isn't going to work. But if you're running a business to help people, right?
Yeah.
If that's the root motive of your business, I'm here to be like helping people, then yeah, why charge interest, right? That doesn't make sense. Because I'm here to help people who are in need.
Yep.
So yeah, why would I charge them interest? And you know, if they can't pay back, you know, that shouldn't be part of it.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of not your root motive. Of why you're doing that. In Matthew 5, verse 42, along the same lines in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew there, says, give to the one who ask from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And, you know, it's just a simple command, you know, give to those who need. So we're going to kind of move to the third option here. And I'm sure it's pretty obvious what the third option is.
We've covered a little bit.
Yeah, there's not. And I mean, in these type of situations, it's pretty easy. I mean, the scripture is so clear. It just says, do not do this.
Yeah.
You know. And then Jesus is like, yeah, make sure you keep giving, you know, even to enemies.
Yeah.
And so some of the arguments that I've heard from Christians, and these are Christian arguments, not we're not talking about the world and stuff, but some Christian arguments for interest, for giving interest, were that modern economies use interest in so many businesses. So, you know, we need to follow these commands, but just charge interest as minimally as you can is sort of the idea there. So it's like, because, you know, modern economies are run this way that, you know, we just got to do it type thing, but just try not to do it too bad. And the question I would ask is, well, what do you, like, in the Old Testament, they're talking about interest. So it's not just a modern phenomenon that's just happened. People have been doing this forever. You know, people have been doing bad business practices
obviously,
forever.
The modern information, they know more than God.
You
know,
okay.
They know better
than
God.
That's true.
It just
that's
comes
true.
Down to they know better than God because they've...
that one.
Right. I mean, that's just an old dusty book, you know, the Old Testament. So why would we listen to that one? Yeah. We have the modern knowledge. We have bigger brains and we're smarter people.
Yeah, that's true.
So your argument's invalid.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the argument just because, you know, they're all doing it, so we should do it. I mean, that didn't work with your parents. I don't know why that's going to work with the Bible or God.
Yeah.
That's a pretty poor argument. so the next one is another argument was, well, you know, from the 1500s to now, Christianity has been allowed to charge some interest because the Catholic Church had a council on it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the Catholic Church had a council, and this was right before, like, the Reformation, you know, starts kicking off there with Martin Luther and everything. And the Catholic Church decided, okay, yeah, you can have some interest.
And Martin Luther, he was fine with this, right?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was definitely against it. But, you know, sidestep, you know.
Yeah.
Not only that, this response was from a Protestant, so not from the Catholic Church.
But they're accepting...
Which is even weirder.
Some council in the 1500s.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we've accepted all the councils of the Catholic Church.
That's right.
And all the decrees 100%. And all everything the Pope has said. I mean, the Protestants, we're all over that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, one, that means for, what, you know, 1,000 years before that when it was not okay in Christianity? So last 500 years it's been
okay. We
got to
figure it out in the last 500 years. That's all it is.
So for most of Christian history, they have not allowed it and thought it was terrible. But, okay.
Maybe the Holy Spirit inspired a change. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and so we follow the Catholic Church councils over Scripture. I guess that's the new rule in Protestant.
Okay.
It's a little strange. But, so...
That's a lot of new rules.
Yeah, so these arguments aren't too great. You know, you can charge interest as long as you don't charge too much.
Oh.
And the question is,
what's too much,
right? Apparently, 700% is allowable, right?
Well,
that's legal.
If you went to 701%, Nathan, would be wrong.
There we go.
But 700%, I think, is okay.
That's right.
It's not pushing it too much.
So, yeah, who decides what's reasonable, what's good, right? We're getting into arbitrary land. Where anybody can say anything, and it doesn't.
I think the government should decide.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they've done such a good job with money.
Yeah, that's right.
And finances and running our lives. Yeah. We should just let them decide everything.
So, yeah, so these are all the arguments. There were no scriptural arguments that I came across. They were just just arguments from like, you know, that's the way everybody's doing it. Yeah. Or like, well, we can charge interest, just not too much.
Yeah.
Or as long as it's a fair interest rate. These type of things. And it's just super relative, right? Mm-hmm. Who decides those things? What's what? What's not? You know, and I think it comes back to that root question. Why are you lending people money? Because from God's perspective, it's to be helping people who are in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So therefore, there's no reason to charge interest.
Right.
It's not to run and become a profitable, you know, business. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is so that people get help. That's the point of lending money.
Yeah. And we're not going to change the world's views on this. We're trying to change the church's views on
this. Yeah, we're talking about Christian arguments here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, you could come back and say, but the world, yep, the world's going to continue to charge interest. But, mm-hmm. you know, could the church make the change? And to say, like, the church has always done this for, like, the last 500 years isn't even true either. I believe there was even people like John Wesley started doing his own banking without interest. I mean, there's examples of the church not
there's tons
doing interest.
Yeah.
So
that's not a good argument. I mean, they were just cherry picking stuff like out, you know, to help because it's so sparse.
Well, and I will do the Google search every time we come up with a topic like this. It's like, oh, I'll go to Google, see what it says. And literally sometimes people make these blanket statements as like, well, there's really nothing talked about in the New Testament regarding interest. And the stuff in the Old Testament was to do with Israel. So therefore, the church is okay to charge interest. And it's like, are you actually studying the Bible when you make claims like that? Or are you just throwing stuff out? And it's like, if you're going to be a thought, or like someone who's like someone who's online throwing out this garbage, maybe you should do a little studying before you do it.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. And then I go to Nathan, and I'm like, then I go to Nathan, I'm like, well, Nathan, this is what they said. And he does a quick Hebrew search, looks up a word, and is like, oh, well, that doesn't mean exactly what they're saying it means. And it's like, well, maybe they should be a little more accountable for what they're saying online. But obviously, you don't have to.
It's the information age, so they say.
It's just sad.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, that was my rant of the day. Thanks for listening. There are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, but you choose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at biblicallogic@gmail.com. That's biblicallogic@gmail.com.
If you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you're listening.
Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.